When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all aspects of fantasy baseball to help you win all of your fantasy leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, we're here to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. Now, here are your hosts, Eric Cross and Chris Clegg.
Welcome into another episode of The Tool Shed with Clegg and Cross, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 317. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Eric Cross. And with me, as usual, is my 80 grade co-host, Mr. Chris Clegg. Chris, how's it going, bud?
It's good. It's good. Just back for another episode. Just living the dream and ready to talk some more ball.
Aren't we all? Always living that dream. Though right now, if anybody hears any thunder in the background, that is from my house because we're having a pretty severe thunderstorm right now. And I got the window with the AC in it in this room, so you might be able to hear it a little bit on the podcast, but it's fine. Be a little background noise, but we got a lot of fun names to talk about today. A couple of suspension news, both good and bad. Some hitters that are thriving right now, and do another episode of Three Up, Three Down with some trending pitching prospects right now. So let's get right into it. But first, the housekeeping here out of the way. You can follow us on Twitter. Chris is at RotoClegg. I'm Eric Cross 04. Show is at Toolshed Pod. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate and review. Make sure you check out both of our personal platforms, thedynastydugout.com and toolshedfantasy.com for more work from each of us, including all of our dynasty and prospect rankings. And of course, check out all the great things going on over at RotoBaller. Use that code Toolshed at checkout. Get you 10% off any premium package over at rotoballer.com. So let's start with the suspension news here. Aurelius Martinez is suspended 80 games. So that's a big blow, as he just made his MLB debut a couple of days ago. But on the bright side, Nolvi Marte is nearly back from his suspension a few days away. I think he's back on, or eligible to be back on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. Summer's in mid to late week upcoming. So both good and bad on the suspension front here. But we'll start with Aurelius Martinez here, Chris. Obviously, he'll be out for, you know, basically the remainder of this season, so you'll get no impact from him for 2024. But does this change your kind of thought process and long-term outlook on him for 2025 and beyond?
It's interesting, and not the news that I expected this morning to see from Aurelius being suspended. It's, I don't know. I mean, I saw a statement about him and his girlfriend trying to get pregnant. Obviously, like, we don't know the full extent, the full story of, you know, why he's taking what he's taking, but it doesn't matter. He's gone pretty much the entire year. Probably won't see him at all in the majors again. He just debuted, which is crazy, but we probably won't see him again until 2025. You know, when I think about this, like, you know, it's kind of like any other player. Like, is it making them a better contact hitter? No, I mean, Aurelius has kind of struggled with that, but is it adding to power? I don't know. I mean, Aurelius has always been a big power bat, so you have a hard time like thinking through like this was juicing him, making him that much better. But it's still to be determined, I guess. I don't really know a ton about the substance that was in, you know, that he got busted for and the effects of it. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and speak and say that like I know exactly what he was doing, but, you know, I do think that, yeah, obviously, we have to be a little weary like Noelvi coming back too. Like, you know, how nervous are we that Noelvi is not the player that he was? I don't know. But at the end of the day, you know, I still have the same questions about Oriel Elvis going into next year that I did this year. It's, does he hit enough? Can he make enough contact to get to that power? And yeah, I mean, it sucks that we won't be able to see him. He'll be set back a bit. But at the end of the day, like, I think the long-term trajectory doesn't change a whole lot for me. So maybe a decent time to buy low in a couple of months.
Yeah, because I think the initial thought is to always question the power and wasn't legit. But as someone that has seen Aurelio Sartinez live a lot, I've probably seen him, if I had to guess, 12, 15 times, something like that, maybe even more than that. It's hard to remember. These guys that I've seen so much, how many games it was exactly, but you know, the power's legit. That's like the one thing with him I've never questioned, is that the raw power has always been there, even when it wasn't in games, it was always there. And the fact that he's now kind of been more consistent with that game power, as Chris mentioned, the, you know, contact skills haven't been quite there. And you kind of need those to be, because he's not a guy that's going to provide a lot of speed. But I kind of thought he'd be like that 25 to 30 homer bat, maybe even a little bit more than that. And if that was coming from a, you know, second base position or wherever he wound up on the infield diamond, that was going to be phenomenal, right? But, you know, how much of that impacted him? It's hard to say. Again, like Chris said too, like I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I'm not a professional on this, you know, topic, so I don't know. But I can't imagine it was something that helped him a lot. Or else was he taken a couple years ago? Because that power was there years ago. It wasn't like this year was a power outbreak. He's had the power for many years now. So my thought process hasn't changed on him. You know, I remain probably a little bit lower than most, though. You know, I still think he's going to be a solid, you know, power bat in the major leagues. Just got to wait another year. But yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to buying low. And I think if the perceived value has dropped to a point where, you know, you can get them for 75 cents on the dollar, because people are questioning, you know, is it legit, or if someone that has him just doesn't want to wait another year on him, which you'll probably see some scenarios where that plays out as well. Yeah, I could see a buy low opportunity here for Relvis. And then with Noelvi coming back here, I've seen those same questions with Noelvi, but, you know, kind of similar thought process with him is that he was showing a lot of the tools in the minor leagues. He's always had pretty solid contact skills. He's a good runner, and that power has always been there. And he bulked up. You know, maybe people question, oh, did he bulk up because of some substance? I don't know. I like to think no, but the talent is still very much there. He's struggling a bit right now on his not a rehab assignment, but whatever you want to call it, you know, in the minor leagues, gearing up for his return in a few days. But yeah, I'm still as in on Noelvi now as I was before that suspension news came out. I think he's still going to be, you know, a five category impact fantasy bat. He's obviously got, you know, a great ballpark to hit in. And once everyone's healthy in that lineup, which might not be till next year at this point, because, you know, who knows when Encarnacion Strand's going to be back. It'll be later this year, or maybe not even till next year. McLean's not back till August or so. But you think there's still going to be a pretty good young lineup around him, you know, moving forward. So yeah, I still think Noelvi's a great buy right now in Dynasty League, because I still think he could be a top 30, 40 player overall, you know, down the road. But now, what are your thoughts on Marte?
Obviously, with what we've seen in the past, I mean, we know that Marte can be really good. He made steady improvements, you know, last year, and especially with the contact. That's the biggest thing. He's a good athlete. He's hit the ball hard. He's kind of put aside those body concerns. And again, what kind of shape did he come back into post PEDs? I don't know. We'll see. But I think that progress was huge. And then you factor in, he's got power. He can run a bit. He's playing in Great American Ballpark. It's a really good opportunity for him to step back in and prove that, you know, this wasn't, you know, the PEDs weren't a big boost for him, and that he's still a really good player and a good player. Like, I mean, we've thought he could be really good for a long time. So, you know, I think that if you can buy, like, I'm buying. I think that there's the opportunity to get in on him sooner than later. So I am pretty excited to see what he can do.
Yep. So am I. All right, let's move past the PED talk here and go over to Mr. Stephen Kwan, who is just having an absolutely phenomenal season in 222 plate appearances, 390, 448, 575. Yes, I said 390. obviously not a guy that's going to give you much in the way of power or speed, although he does have 7 home runs this year. So he's on a, 17, 18 homer pace and around 8 or so steal pace. That's not a zero in those departments, even though he's, you know, his quality of contact metrics are very, very poor. But everything else for him outside of the poor quality of contact is phenomenal. You go to his Savant page, you look at, he's at a 7.4% strikeout rate, more walks than strikeouts, a 97.1% zone contact rate, and a 94% overall contact rate, chase rate below 20%. I mean, this guy is, you know, he's basically becoming like the outfield version of Luis Arraez with, you know, maybe even a little more power speed upside, because, you know, last 2 years, Kwan's averaged 20 steals, 19 in 2022 and then 21 last year. So if he's a guy that can at least get you double digits of power and speed, something Arraez has not been able to do, I mean, yeah, this is a very valuable fantasy bat and a very high floor. I mean, he's not sexy. He's not going to be like a top 50 player or anything like that. But hey, you know, maybe he could be a, you know, top 75 player, because right now he's on pace to blow way past 100 runs. I mean, if he wasn't hurt, I mean, right now he's at 46, but full season pace, he's on pace for like 125 runs or something like that. If he can give you 100 plus runs, 15, 16 home runs, and, you know, 10 to 15 steals, you know, to go along with a super high average, that's still a very valuable fantasy bet. So, I mean, I think a lot of this is legit. Maybe he won't get to that 15 to 20 home run range because of his poor quality of contact. But I think everything else is legit. And if you can just get 10 and 10 out of him, boom, that's just added bonus to the high average. So, you know, again, not sexy, but someone I'd be looking to buy into. I think people are looking to sell Kwan right now. I wouldn't, you know, unless you can get a really, really good return package, like a top 50 player for him, I'd probably hold Steven Kwan right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously on a tear, and he's hitting the cover off the ball. It's been really fun to kind of watch him do this. And obviously, we've known he can be one of the best hitters in the game, best pure hitters. From a contact standpoint, like, he brings everything to the table that you want. I mean, he walks nearly 3 times as much as he strikes out, like, as of recent. That's been huge. And, you know, since the start of May, I mean, hitting .453, that's kind of crazy to look at. The nice thing is, over that span, the exit velocities have trended upward. It's kind of interesting to look at that and see. He has an 88.5 mile an hour average EV since May 1st, just 86 miles an hour overall. So there's been a pretty sizable jump here with Kwan as far as, you know, how hard he's hitting the ball. And obviously a factor too that he's, you know, hitting at ideal angles. That certainly helps. The hard hit rate's still underwhelming over this span at, you know, sub 30%. It actually does not have a barrel since May 1st. So it's funny to see that kind of work out how it has. But, you know, I think that Kwan does everything right. He's everything you want in a hitter. And, you know, I do think that he can be someone that makes a solid impact. If you're thinking about a points league, Steven Kwan is an excellent play. Like, Kwan might be a top 10 bat in some points leagues, depending on the scoring. Like, he was already like top 20 in a lot of formats before. And if you think a little bit of added power too, like, that's a huge boost to what Kwan can do. You know, pulling the ball a little more, that's obviously significant. Lifting it, like, those things are important. And that's what he's doing. He's getting to more poolside, and he's not putting it on the ground all that often. So, best contact skills in baseball, him and Luis Arraez. So, yeah, I'm certainly in on Steven Kwan. I don't think he's a sell at all. I would be happy to have him on my teams and acquire him if you can.
Yeah, you know, not a guy that's going to win you a championship, but a guy that absolutely you need to have if you're going to try to win a championship. Like, championship teams that win fantasy leagues have guys like Steven Kwan. Like, again, he's maybe on the boring side, sure, but he contributes, and, you know, he's having the best year of his career right now. I was looking at his batting average by pitch type. He's hitting over 400 against both fastballs and breaking balls. Like, you don't see someone hit over 400 against breaking balls, like, ever. That's just not something you expect to see when you look at someone's Savant page. Even like his worst pitch type is off speed. He's hitting 276. with like zero power against that, but use a little more power against fastballs and breaking balls. But yeah, it's a lot of legit things here in this profile. Now, you know, take obviously different positions. So let's take that out in a vacuum, Chris. Like, who would you rather have going forward, Stephen Kwan or Luis Arraez?
It's definitely Kwan.
Yep, Sam.
That's a pretty easy choice for me there.
Yeah, I said, I think he's everything Arraez with a little more, you know, power speed upside. So yeah, Kwan's going to be a guy that is going to be moving up a good amount. He already has, and he'll continue to rise up my dynasty rankings here over the next few months, especially have a big jump in my July update for sure. Next guy here, Helio Ramos from the San Francisco Giants, who has been on a pretty hot tear to start his career. He's going off a little bit of late, but overall 289, 363, 522 slash line with 10 home runs in 179 plate appearances so far. And Chris, what are you thinking of this profile? It's a lot of good. Give a couple red flags. Obviously, the quality of contact is very, very good right now. A little bit of a higher whiff and K rate, but you know, is Ramos a guy that you'd be looking to sell if you had him and capitalize on the hot start to the season for him? Or do you think there's, you know, some legitimacy here and someone that you could maybe count on being a top 100 guy down the road?
I mean, he hits the ball hard enough to make the profile work. And the K rate's questionable. It's down from past. It's still a little higher than I'd like, near 29%. So obviously that's a little bit concerning for me to look at that and say, all right, like where does this fall? Like, does he make enough contact to make it work? And I don't know that answer. I'm really not sure, but I do think that he hits the ball hard enough. I think that he can get to big time power. I think that there is a really fun profile that could hit 30, but it's not going to sustain this kind of batting average or OBP, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's kind of where I am, too. He reminds me a little bit of, I don't know, maybe Andy Paz isn't the right one, but I don't believe the average is going to stay up even remotely close to 300. I think looking at the profile, looking at the contact rates, you know, yeah, the quality of contact will help that out a little bit, but I think he's more in the 250 range. Though he is walking a decent clip, so I think he'd be like a 250 average, you know, maybe a 335, 340 OBP. But if they continue to start him regularly over a full season, yeah, I think the power is there for 30 home runs. You know, at the same time, though, his ground ball rate is over 50%, has been every year of his career so far, though it's down to 51.9, which is lower than it has been, but still want to see that get a little higher. And doesn't even pull that much, too. It's very much straightaway center, 46.2%. Only 24.5% pull rate. So kind of a weird batted ball profile too, but definitely a lot of good here with Ramos, but a little bit flawed profile. So I lean more towards a sell, but I think there's, you know, a chance he could be a pretty solid player moving forward as well. Next one here, a guy that's had a pretty, you know, roller coaster career so far. That's Andrew Vaughn, former third overall pick back in 2019. Seems like forever ago he was drafted. But it was kind of a boring guy, 2022, 2023, and started off pretty cold here in 2024. He was dropped in a lot of leagues because in April he slashed 189, 257, 242. And even though he had a few home runs in May, only a 208, 269, 396 slash line there. But here in June, in 81 plate appearances, 342, 358, 557. With 5 home runs and 16 RBI as well. You know, are you buying back into Andrew Vaughn here, Chris, or see a guy that, you know, maybe you'd look to capitalize on the hot streak and sell high if you can, or are you just not believing in this at all?
I just wonder what you could get for him in a trade. He's just so bland, and it's very similar to kind of what he's been his entire career, if you look as far as, you know, all the underlying metrics pretty much line up. And so, you know, I'm not sure I'm like fully buying what he's doing. I do think that he's on a nice hot streak. That's been really fun to see. At least him pick it up. Things have trended in the right direction, which is huge. You look at some of the underlying metrics and, you know, the EVs have been pretty similar to what they've been all year. The hard hit rate, you know, pretty similar mark. He's just hitting the ball. You know, he's getting I won't say he's getting lucky, but he's putting the ball at ideal angles. But overall, the sweet spot rate is down a lot over the last few weeks. The K rate's also down. So he's just putting more balls in play, which I think is notable. I don't know. Like, if I have Andrew Vaughn on a team, probably, I don't know. It depends on what you can get. Like, if you could get a top 150 asset, I might, because, like, I feel like we're going to end the year. Vaughn's going to be close to 20 home runs again. He's going to hit 250. It's a pretty bad OBP profile with no counting stats at all because the lineup's so bad. So I don't know. I think it all depends on, you know, what you could get in return, but I'm not opposed to holding them and just hoping that you do somehow get 20 home runs out of the profile in a corner spot. Like, you know, it's fine in a deeper league. It's not obviously the most ideal thing, but I do think that his profile is just like bland and okay.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe Andrew Vaughn. He's been like ridiculously consistent though in terms of a lot of the metrics. Like, looking at like his average exit velocity in four seasons, there's a 0.5 mile an hour variance from 90.6 to 91.1. Hard hit rate is about 3 to 4% difference. Barrel rate, you know, it's been basically the same the last 3 years. You know, I look down at his zone contact has been within about 2.8%. You know, this is not a lot of variance in any of these metrics here. So, yeah, I do think that he can get up to, I mean, he's a 253 career hitter. I think he's better than that. Yeah, you know, I see that 271 average. I mean, he's got pretty solid contact rates. He's got 88.5% zone and 77.5% overall, and those are pretty solid. So I do think he can get it back up to the 260, 270 range, you know, with low 20s home runs, kind of like where he was in 2022, 2023. I mean, but is that overly valuable? He provides zero speed, obviously, and he's, you know, first base only guy. I mean, what's the difference between him and like a Jake Cronenworth? I don't think there's a big gap there. So yeah, I do think he's, you know, definitely legit compared to, you know, last couple of years. I think that was kind of what he is. At this point, so you know, maybe ride the hot streak now and sell if you can. But yeah, Andrew Vaughn's, yeah, very bland and boring. That's a great way to talk about him. But the next guy here is anything but bland and boring. We talked about this guy, I think, a few episodes ago, a little bit, but kind of want to talk about where he should be ranked now, given all the good and bad of him the last few years. And that's Mr. Royce Lewis, 25 years old from the Minnesota Twins. Guy that has 10 home runs this year. He's already second on the team in home runs, and he's played like 17 games or whatever it is now. But looking at 27 home runs and 355 plate appearances in his career with a 316, 375, 610 slash line. But that's come over three different seasons, as everyone knows, because of the knee injuries he's had, which are the red flags here. I mean, that's really the red flag for him is the durability. Everything else looks pretty damn good for Royce Lewis, but put out a poll from the Toolshed account a few days back. I want to say it was on Friday, and just asking which one of these third basemen would you want to roster in Dynasty moving forward. It was kind of like the big four at this position. It was Austin Riley, Rafael Devers, Royce Lewis, and Jose Ramirez. And Lewis won. Yeah, he had 33.7% of the vote. Then it went Devers at 26.3, Joe Ram 23.8, and Riley 16.2. Yeah, I think Riley's struggles this year have kind of factored in that low percent a little bit, but he was number one. And maybe that's recency bias absolutely plays in a little bit here, maybe more than a little bit. But you know, in terms of overall and just among third baseman, Chris, where do you have, you know, where do you think is appropriate for Royce Lewis to be ranked? Because I had him, I think, at 20 or 19 in my past update. And I was looking at some guys, like that group of guys that are between him and like the 11, 12 range, which is like, you know, Harper and all them. I was wondering, man, do I like Lewis more? I mean, I think I do, but at the same time, the downfall of all the durability issues with those knees kind of gives me a little bit of pause. So where are you at in this one?
Man, the talent level could be number one overall player. I don't think there's, you know, any denying that kind of upside. Like, that's just how good he's been. But on the flip side, it's, man, he can't stay healthy. And I don't know. I'm really struggling with where to rank him. And I don't think there's a right place to rank him. I'm not sure there's a, you know, wrong place to rank him, because there's so much variance in this profile. which is what makes it so tough, is that, you know, at the end of the day, from a baseball player standpoint, he's extremely good. But durability wise, like, how much is he going to be able to provide? And, you know, Royce is extremely fun. It's every day, like, you look and hey, another home run. But as you mentioned, durability is majorly concerning. 88 total games since 2022. So the performance been there. This year it's been insane. I mean, 10 homers and 75 plate appearances. I think he's going to steal some bags too when he actually gets on first base and has an opportunity to steal. He hasn't really had any opportunities this year, walking nearly as much as he struck out. Man, I'd love to go top 10 on him. I'm just not confident enough that he can stay healthy, and maybe I'll miss the boat. Maybe I'll end up being wrong about this profile and he does end up staying healthy at some point. And, you know, this latter half of his 20s end up being elite. And, you know, if that's the case, then that's awesome. I hope it works out that way. But I'm just so scared to push him too high, given that he just can't stay on the field.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I want to put him higher, and he'll probably move a few spots higher this next update. But, you know, I can't yet put him ahead of, I think, like, that 10, 11, 12, 13 range for me is, like, you know, the older guys. It's Mookie, it's Harper, it's Judge. I can't put him ahead of those guys yet, or that means I'd have to bump out someone like, I don't know, like a Tatis out of the top 10 or something like that. And I just don't think I'm quite ready to do that. Could it happen? Absolutely. You know, but I want to see him, because even right now, he's been back for what? It's been, what, 2.5 weeks or something like that? So 17 games or whatever. So we got to wonder, you know, let's see him, you know, finish up the season. Let's see him if he can play the second half of this season healthy. And, you know, obviously, you know, production's not a question. He'll probably maybe not hit 10 home runs every 16 games the rest of the way, but, you know, he'll probably be a top 20 player, you know, for the rest of the season. But can he play the rest of the season? And if he does, and then, you know, he gets to this offseason and next year, you know, he's probably going to be a top, you know, first round pick. But if he can get the rest of the season healthy, then I think, all right, maybe, and, you know, obviously continues to rake, I think, all right, now it's time to go top 10 on him. But yeah, right now he'll probably be in like that 15 or so range for me next update, unless something drastic changes here over the next few weeks. All right, let's move over to three up, three down. We got some pitching prospects here, starting with Xander Muth from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Down in the complex ever right now, he was the 67th overall pick in the 2023 draft. Was signed for a little under $1.8 million. Tall, righty, 6'6", 205 pounds. And a guy, Chris, that has been very, very good here over the last 30 days. You're looking at, I mean, it's only been a few starts, but guys striking out a lot, you know, of batters so far this season, and really impressing down there at the complex level. So what are your thoughts on Xander Muth? I know you tweeted about him a few days ago as a guy to target right now in dynasty leagues. You know, how high do you think, you know, Muth can, you know, rise in rankings over the next year or two?
He's got all the talent in the world. From an Arsenal standpoint, it's really, really good stuff. I think it's the kind of the question of, you know, how well does he command those pitches? Yeah, you see the stuff. It's a very tall, big frame. It's a very tough release point too. Like, gets a lot of extension. When I look at Xander Muth, I see, you know, a potential to take big steps forward. And, you know, right now I have in like the 200 to 250 range. Like, you know, I'm not going insanely high on him yet. There's other guys, like, there's a couple of their preps from last year's class that I do like a little better, like Travis Acora. And I just saw Josh Knoth yesterday, who really impressed as well. I do think for Xander, the command is coming around some, which is certainly positive. I think that's what you want to see from a young kid like this that's stepping into a big spot. And it's, you know, when the stuff's that good, you know, and you can get some command of it, then it's going to work out. I think we need to see him push to single A. Both Sakura and Noth are currently pitching in single A, and I'd like to see Xander Muth get there as well. But from a pure stuff standpoint, it's hard to argue with what he brings to the table. It's incredible stuff. And it was as a prep, you know, from a prepster, he was already like mid 90s on the fastball. And obviously, you know, that's big stuff. And it's, you know, still sitting around there, big extension. He's a changeup that plays well off of it with good separation. It's a good slider as well, spins it a lot, good sweeping action. And then, as I mentioned, you just get that intimidating starter's frame up there, and you have the makings of a really good arm. So I think he has potential to rise pretty significantly, and I'd take a chance on him where you could.
If you're passionate about sports and looking for a thrill, you need to check out the freshly redesigned XBet. They're calling it the last sports book you'll ever join. I've been playing on XBet, and they really do have it all. Whether odds on basketball, combat sports, or even betting on the next Bitcoin dip. And the best part is, when you win, you get paid quick. But it's not just about placing bets. XBet is a whole experience. They support athletes and sports shows just like ours, and they give back to the community with tons of free bets and cash prize contests. Did I mention they also have a casino now? Spin the slots, play some roulette, or even try your luck at the live tables. All from a mobile platform that lets you enjoy the fun on the go. Whether you're super into sports betting or curious about trying it out, you need a site that makes it fun and easy. That's why you've got to check out XBet. Sign up today using the promo code Toolshed and get a generous bonus of up to $1,000 on your first deposit. That's right, promo code Toolshed for free cash bonus to kickstart your journey. With so many great UFC cards on the horizon and the fact that baseball season is in full swing, there's never been a better time to play. Make your next bet, XBet.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It feels weird. I think this is the first player I've talked about on a podcast named Xander that's not Xander Bogaerts. But yeah. It's like you get Xander and Zebby. It's just a lot of fun names this year. Jonah Tong. It's a lot of good names right now in the prospect world breaking out this year. But yeah, in fact, he's in, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates org, which has done a very good job over the last few years with pitching prospects, especially. Yeah, I think that gives me a little bit more added, you know, confidence that maybe they can help him figure out the control issues, because yeah, it's a good three pitch mix. Maybe he could add a little bit more bulk to that frame, but it's a good frame as well. And a guy that the price tag is still, you know, very low, or depending on how many prospects are rostered in your dynasty league, maybe you can go pick him up. So I think if your league roster is like 250 or less prospects, he's probably sitting out there, and I'd say 80%+ of those leagues. So yeah, definitely a great low cost target with some definite breakout appeal. He's already starting to break out, but I think you can see him really rise up rankings here over the next couple of years. The first down right now is Robbie Snelling. Unfortunately, you know, it's been a very poor year for Robbie Snelling after a phenomenal year last year, his first year in the minor leagues, where he vaulted up to being a top 5 to 10 pitching prospect for most, myself included. I think he peaked at as my number 5 pitching prospect, but after starting out the year pretty solidly, I mean, first 3 starts, he only allowed 3 earned runs total in 13 and 2/3 innings. But then since then, he allowed 4 earned and 2 and 2/3. And then he had a few good starts again, 2 quality starts and almost a third. So almost 3 quality starts in a row. But his last 5 starts over the last 30 days since May 23rd, not been great whatsoever. 25.1 innings, a 9.24 ERA. The whip is almost two, and he's 355 batting average against, and he's allowed 10 home runs in his last five outings. So he's giving up a home run every 2.5 innings or so in those last five outings. So this year, and you look at the numbers overall, they are bad. 5.92 ERA and a 1.58 whip, and the K rate's been cut by 10% from 28.4 to 18.2%. I don't think last year was a fluke, Chris, but this is really, really discouraging what we're seeing from Robbie Snelling so far this year.
Sure is. And, you know, he was pushing in that conversation of, you know, one of the best pitching prospects in the game. And, you know, it just shows you how fickle pitching prospects are. And it's why I like to trade him if you can, just to capitalize. Like, he's not missing bats at all. Like, it's among double A pitchers, like, he's like, you know, bottom percentile of swinging strike rate. Like, it's not great. It's just certainly below average bat missing stuff. And you wonder, like, where did it all go? And yeah, I have questions about that. You know, I think obviously, you know, to see that tick down, to see the walk rate still be an issue. And, you know, they actually were. I would say the command was good last year. And obviously when it's double A, the walk rate looks a little higher, small samples. So don't put a lot of stock in that. But, you know, then you look and you see, okay, like, you know, still 10% walk rate. It's 18% strikeout rate. It's not good. Sub 10% swinging strike rate. His strike rate, like, in the zone, 64% is above average. But he's not missing bats or getting called strikes either. The CSW is pretty low at 26%. So, you know, I don't love that either. You know, the FIP's 5.59. The XFIP is 4.53, which, you know, does suggest, you know, a little bit better. But at the end of the day, like, you know, it's almost as if Robbie Snelling's stuff has taken, you know, a bit of a tick back. And in doing so, I think we have to be reactionary to, like, what's going on here. Like, how high should we rank Robbie Snelling despite all these struggles? And I think that question is really tough to answer. So right now I'm kind of at a loss in as far as, you know, what in the world do we do with this guy? And, you know, you mentioned the home runs, like, you know, it's been an issue, but it also, you know, it wasn't like it wasn't until recent. His first, count these out, seven starts, it was just one home run. And then his most recent start, five home runs. But prior to that, it was, you know, 2.2015. So, you know, big home run totals recently. Obviously, it's getting hotter in the Texas League, so the ball's traveling a bit more. But if five home runs in a start, like, you can't have that. Like, if you don't have your stuff, you know, you've got to find a way to limit the damage. Two home runs in four innings, consecutive starts, that's not great either. And so he's been trending the wrong direction completely. And, you know, honestly, like, I'm a bit concerned with, you know, what's going on with Snelling. And can he bounce back? Yeah, absolutely. I certainly believe that. But, you know, it's going to take some work because there's a lot of guys pitching much better than he is. And he stands a pretty good chance to move down.
Yeah, but down how far is kind of what I'm wondering. Like, is he still a top 100 guy overall? I mean, this guy was, you know, right around top 50 for me. I still have him top 100 as of now, but his hold on top 100 is kind of, you know, not great anymore. He's in around 90 overall for me right now. So he's down in the same range as he's in like the Cade Povich range now. Rhett Lauder, Drew Thorpe, guys like that. He's definitely not up in that second tier like he was, you know, with the guys like Christian Scott and Noble Meyer and all them. So yeah, it's been tough. I'm still holding out hope because, again, I don't believe what we saw from him last year was a fluke. But yeah, it's even with the heat rising in Texas, obviously it's scorching down there. That ERA over nine is that is just not good. But yeah, maybe he's a buy low. People think that last year was a fluke and that he's just trash now, which is absolutely not the case. I could see, you know, buying low on him for a pretty good discount for sure. The next up here, going to the St. Louis Cardinals with Quinn Matthews, who was one of the, you know, those, a lot of those breakout prospects like him and Klassen and Zebby and Jonah Tong, et cetera, earlier this year. You know, Matt Wilkinson as well. But most of them were a little bit older. You know, Quinn Matthews is 23, and he was dominating in low A. So he was one especially where I was like, all right, let's see him do it against at least in high A before we go too crazy here. But you got the bump to high A. He's now made six starts at both single A levels, and he's got 287 ERA in high A with a 0.74 whip and a 51-6 strikeout to walk ratio. So he's been, you know, outside of the ERA, he's been better in high A Peoria than he was in low A Palm Beach. And, you know, Chris, the, you know, stuff doesn't blow you away, but, you know, fastball, it, you know, velocity is up this year. He's got a, you know, pretty solid changeup, really good command and control as well, as you can kind of see with that lower walk rate as well. You know, so how high do you think we should be going on Matthews now? Like, do you think he's legit and a guy everyone should be targeting right now in their dynasty leagues?
Yeah, I mean, he right now looks like a top 75-ish prospect, you know, given that the success has continued. And I, you know, my question was, would he throw enough strikes in high A? The zone's really big in the Florida State League. So that was, you know, a little bit of my concern. It's like, all right, this is a massive zone. He's throwing like strikes at a league average rate. Well, he bumped to high A and the strike rates jumped 5 percentage points. It's, you know, in high A, it's near 69%. That's like, you know, borderline elite strike rates. The swinging strike rate is identical. He's been at, you know, near 19% in single A. He's 18.7% in high A. That's pretty impressive. And you mentioned the stuff. I mean, obviously, we got to talk about that because the fastball was up, you know, 2-3 miles an hour from what it was at Stanford. And that's obviously notable when you see such a tick up in velo. That's going to play a lot better. You know, he's mixing in a slider. He's mixing in a change. He's mixing in a curveball. You know, all these things that you want to see from him, he's doing. Complete arsenal. He's got command of all those pitches. Like, this is certainly a guy that, you know, I want to invest in. It's probably a little too late to get in on him. If you still can, like, yeah, it'd be awesome. But, you know, I'm not, like, you know, saying go out and pay a huge price for him. But if you can get him for somebody, like, outside the top 100 prospects, like, yeah, that would be awesome. But yeah, I think that right now the cost is probably too high for me. And I think that it's honestly justified. He's pitching really, really good. He's silenced every question I had about a college arm pitching in the single A Florida State League. And, you know, it's much improved.
Yeah, those are my questions too, as I mentioned. And you got to wonder if he's going to be pushed up to double A pretty soon here, because I think, you know, that's definitely been warranted with how he's pitched and, you know, the arm that he is. So, yeah, I was a little hesitant to go too highly on him. But, yeah, now it's time to go higher on him for sure. Now, here's a question for you, Chris. We'll do a little who you got with these last two names we just talked about. At this point, who you got, Quinn Matthews or Robbie Snelling, which is not a question I thought I'd be asking you in the middle part of June.
Yeah, I think at this point, I'm comfortable saying that Matthews' stuff is better, and he's throwing more strikes, and he's missing way more bats. So, you know, I think despite that, you know, it's a double-A Texas league versus, you know, a single or a high-A Midwest league, I think it's what Peoria is. I still lean Matthews. I obviously want to see Matthews in the same, you know, division, same double-A in the Texas league. He'll be there once he gets to double-A, and he should be. But, you know, right now, I think that you got to go with Matthews.
Do you think I'd be asking you that question at all this season?
Nope.
that shows you, you know, prospect values can change so drastically pretty quickly, especially, you know, with pitching prospects, as we've seen. That's why, you know, TinStap, you know, has been a, you know, common acronym for a while now. But I didn't put that poll out. I want to see what the results are. I'm going to throw that out from the Toolshed account here in a second to see who people got between Matthews and Snelling. But yeah, two arms definitely trending in opposite directions. Next down here, we'll go to the White Sox with Jairo Iriarte, who started off the season really well, but has been kind of trending down here over the last month or so. You know, this guy had a, let's see, where was it? There we go. In April, a 0.51 ERA in four starts, but then it was down to 475 in May, 727 so far here in June. And if you look at his last four starts, 22 and a third innings, 7.66 ERA, and only 16 strikeouts, only seven walks as well, which, walks were a little bit of a concern with Jairo Iriarte, dating back to his days in the San Diego system, but always a guy that struck out a lot of batters, but that hasn't really been the case here over the last few weeks, but he had some big strikeout games earlier on in the season. You look at, he had back-to-back double-digit strikeout games just back in mid-May, both against the Chattanooga Lookout, double-A for Cincinnati there. He did give up seven runs in 13 and two-thirds in those games, but had 24 strikeouts, 11 and one outing, 13 in the next. But since then, 5-4, 6-2-4. Still a pretty fun arm, Chris, but what are your thoughts right now on Jairo Iriarte? You think it's, the change in scenery hasn't been good for him moving from San Diego to the White Sox now. And what are your thoughts here with Iriarte?
So volatile. And I think that's the concerning aspect here, is that there's a lot of volatility. His strike rates are actually above average, which you think, you look at this guy and you say the command's terrible. Like, there's no way this is possible. But the walk rates have improved tremendously. And, he's got an 8-walk game sitting in there at the beginning of May. He's got a 5-walk game in April, 4-walk game, his second start of the year. But really, since then, the walks have looked much better. And so, I think that's one thing that's worth noting with Iriarte, is that, that's obviously notable, and you want to see that. At the same time, all the walks have, improved. He's at 6.3%. over his last six starts. Everything else is not great. It's a 5.93 ERA. I will put the caveat on it that comes with a 3.58 FIP. So that's obviously an encouraging sign that he has pitched better than, the ERA may suggest. Keeping the ball in the yard, I think that's important. It's been some bad luck go his way. Strikeout rate's interesting. I mentioned those six starts, the walk rate coming down. After that, it's still 26% strikeout rate, which you want to see a little more. The bat missing is fine. It's an okay swinging strike rate. I want to see a little higher from a guy with his stuff. But right now, it's a very high BABIP. It's a very low strand rate. So those things kind of, bounce back to norms. And, I think he'll be fine. Is he a top 100 guy? I think that's kind of in question. I still believe in the fastball slider combo. I think they're both really, really good. He gets such heavy run on the fastball. The slider is like a wiffle ball in the air when you watch him. So, I do think that, Iriarte is going to be okay. I think it's a guy where you don't send him to AAA. Maybe now that there's no ABS, it's just challenge. Maybe he does get a crack there. But Charlotte's such a terrible place to pitch. It is the worst. So, maybe they don't send him there to kill his confidence. But, I think that this is still a really good prospect with really good stuff. And if you can buy low on him, I think I might.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's great to see the walk rate come down. It's only about 6.5% over his last seven starts. And you look at, we talked about home run issues for Snelling. Iriarte's allowed only four home runs the entire year. Yeah, they're in his last seven starts, but still, four home runs and seven starts isn't bad either. And he had zero home runs allowed in his first six outings back when he was going well. So, I'm still a believer in the stuff, and I would definitely buy low right now if possible. Next name here, our last up of this episode is Caden Dana with the Los Angeles Angels. 6'4", 215-pound righty, still only 20 years old, in Double-A Rocket City right now. 13 starts, a 2.39 ERA. Across 75 and a third innings. Whip is under one with 79-24 strikeout to walk ratio. And obviously has been even better here of late. Did get two earned runs and five and a third in his last outing. But before that, zero earned in seven innings, two earned in eight, one earned in six. So really he hasn't given up more than three earned runs in any start this year. So it wasn't like there was a bad stretch of his season, but the last four games for him, 171 ERA, 187 batting average against, 32 strikeouts in 26 and a third innings. Now, he's a guy that's been kind of teetering in my top 100 for a bit now, Chris. Guy probably should be top 100 now. But kind of where do you value him moving forward, and you know, how high do you think he's going to rise among pitching prospects by the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, Dana's somebody that obviously I've really liked for a while. He was top 100 preseason for me, and you know, being pretty high on him, I know that was an outlier at the time, but you know, I really believed in what I saw last year, and obviously and a pretty aggressive assignment too. You know, the Angels are pretty notorious for doing that. Like, they put guys in some tough spots, and you know, Dana being 20 years old, he's, I think, handled it extremely well. And at the beginning of the year, people were like, oh, he's not missing bats, the swinging strike rate sucks. And I think people kind of freaked out a little bit about that, but you know, the improvements have been there. The stuff didn't change. Like, the stuff has been there all along with him. And you know, I was pretty confident that the bat missing would come, and it certainly has. He, I mean, the last three starts is 10 strikeouts, 9-7. So, you know, pretty solid stuff there. The strikeout rate is trending upward. The swing strike rate's trending upward. It's a really good fastball. It's good carry through the zone. He throws a really solid slider, mixing a curve at times and even a change. I really believe in Caden Dana's fastball slider combo, and he has those other two pitches when he needs. I mean, this guy was an 11th round pick, 2022, but he got $1.5 million. Like, that's big money. And so the Angels are really confident in him. That speaks a lot of volume to me as well. I think that you know, he is the best prospect in the system pretty easily. And
yeah, that's not that hard to say with that. Yeah.
No. But I think that he's like pushing top 10, you know, pitching prospect in the game. Like, that's the kind of you know, profile we're looking at. It's just, you know, really good stuff. And it's now being backed by the performance where there were questions at times, you know, especially a stretch in the middle of May where he had a couple rough outings. And since then, he's looked really dang good, considering, you know, Double A, it's a weird environment right now in the Southern League, and he's 20 years old. Stuff will play. I think the command's good enough. It's, you know, average command. The strike throwing's above average. So you get above average control. You've got average command of where you're throwing each pitch. I'll take it. I'm a big Caden Dana fan.
I wonder, actually, I don't wonder. I know that if he was in the Yankee system, Tampa Bay, Milwaukee, you know, the Dodgers, any of these, you know, good Baltimore, you know, all these, you know, good systems, you know, would he be a top 10 consensus pitching prospect right now? I think he would be. I think there's people a little leery of just the Angels in general, and I don't blame anybody that is. I am even a little bit without, you know, their track record isn't the greatest over, you know, the last half decade or even longer. So, but he's definitely one to target here. Hopefully they don't, you know, push him too hard. You know, I don't think he's going to be up this year or anything like that. But maybe you get a cup of coffee with AAA, you know, later this season, get a few starts there, and start the 2025 season at the level again. But, yeah, he's pushing to my top 100. And, yeah, he's definitely into that, you know, top 10 discussion. He's in a cluster for me that are kind of all in that same range. But he's one that could absolutely push higher moving forward here. The last one, the last down is Jacob Mizorowski, and yeah, he's coming off a pretty good outing last time where he had six shutout innings against Rocket City. But overall, you know, he's got an ERA over five here over the last month, and it's just a very inconsistent performance for Mizorowski. And you know, the walk rate, he's only got three walks in his last 13 innings, so that's encouraging, but in general, walks have been a pretty big issue for him, and to the point where I think we need to be talking about it a bit more than we are, because you know, last year he had 42 walks in 71 and a third innings for a 13.4% walk rate, and this year he's got 34 walks in 52 and a third innings for a 14.7% walk rate. So it's gone up so far this year. Still striking out a good amount of batters, as he always has. But 28.1%, though, that is down a bit from last year. It was over 33% last year. But, you know, obviously the stuff is borderline ace caliber stuff. I don't think anybody can question that. But at this point, when the walk rates have been over 13% each of the last 2 years, you know, I think, you know, is it time to start talking about some reliever risk with Mizorowski and maybe a guy that is more of a sell than a buy for, I don't know. He's a tough one because he's so damn good when he's on. And we've seen that, but I don't know, how are you valuing Mizorowski right now, Chris?
Yeah. Like, I don't want to let the, you know, last really good start affect my opinion. He didn't walk a batter. That's huge. He hasn't, that's the first time all year he's not walked a batter. Struck out five. He went six innings, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a career high for him, or tied a career high at least. He finished last year and hit six innings with 12 Ks to finish 2023. So that's pretty impressive. So yeah, he's done it twice in his career, six innings. The no walk thing, obviously really notable. He did hit a batter, but you know, he registered zero walks. And going through the game log, it's the first time that he's thrown more than two innings and not walked a batter. But it's a larger sample of work. I'm not going to sit here and say like he turned the corner, obviously, because the start before it was two walks and three hit by pitches. So, you know, he put five guys on base and allowed three home runs in four innings. So, you know, you mix the two and it's like, all right, which guy are you going to get? There's been, you know, a lot of starts with a lot of walks here on the ledger. And so I think you have to factor that in. The stuff, absolutely electric. You know, the command is not great, but it's an electric fastball slider combo. I have as much of a fear he gets injured as he does eating those strikes. Just right. The operation is not clean. It's, you know, it's loud. It's like I said, electric's a good word to describe it, but also like the negative of electric saying like, oh man, like you know, this guy's arm could blow up at any minute. And the strike throwing is pretty poor. It's a 58% strike rate. Going to be closer. The league average is about 62 right now. So, you know, a couple ticks below average here is, you know, far from ideal for Jacob Mizorowski, who does need to throw strikes, who does need to walk less batters. Get so far on stuff, but it doesn't matter, in my opinion, if you can't throw enough strikes, if you can't command where those pitches are going. And so, yeah, he's young. He can still figure that out. But massive injury concern and risk, in my opinion. Like, I'm worried about that. And so I think those two, the control plus the injury risk, has me a little bit worried about him.
Yeah, no, that's definitely valid. There's a lot of green flags here, a lot of red flags as well. So, but he definitely, you know, Milwaukee has a type. You know, Milwaukee goes after those, like, they go after the stuff first, and, you know, maybe there's some command and control issues there. You know, we see it with like Ashby, Mizorowski, even, you know, Josh Knoth, like you saw recently. They love going after those kind of big, loud stuff guys, and then they hope they can kind of mold it to the point where they can be at least serviceable big league starters in terms of command and control. And, you know, because if you hit on a couple of those guys, yeah, you got some early, you know, some top of the rotation type guys. So that's definitely their type. But when it goes the other way, it goes the other way pretty bad usually. So. Not saying it's going to be like that for Mizorowski, but yeah, definitely kind of a wide variance of outcomes here for him. So if you have him, I'd probably look to, I mean, I'm not trying to just get him off my roster by any means, but you know, I'd always, you know, throw him out there in a trade block or in your message or league, whatever, see what people offer you. But that is going to wrap up this edition of Three Up, Three Down and this episode in general. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Again, we hope you enjoyed it. We will see you again on Thursday, but until then, everyone take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy.
It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.